If the horse you are riding to your destiny is dead, dismount. If you want to accelerate the trip time to your full potential and your goals, you need to listen to this message. Hello, this is John Michael Grogan. In the song The Pretender, Jackson Brown sings, "Say a prayer for the pretender, who started off so young and strong, only to surrender." Surrender to what? Surrender to fear and doubt. Stop being so concerned about what others will think and ask yourself, what is the right thing for me to do? If you want to accelerate your arrival time to your destiny, to the capture of your goals and dreams, then I want to invite you to try an experiment that will last 30 days. I call it the 30-day makeover. It will change your life. Remember, choices, not chance, determines whether or not we win at life. Don't begin your 30-day experiment until you're convinced that the prize is worth the chase. Too many people today are looking for a job, just over broke. A person with a calling or a mission, someone with total commitment to what they're doing and determination, will always outwork, out-earn, and outlast the person who merely works for money or from a sense of duty. Here's your first big idea. The greatest prizes in life are always in direct proportion to the resistance. Now let me say that again. The greatest prizes in life are always in direct proportion to the resistance. So, understand that in your 30-day experiment, you must get a vivid picture in your mind of the kind of person you want to be. See yourself thinking and doing the things that successful people do. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. Before long, your actions will catch up with your new picture of yourself. If you change your actions before you change your picture, you will keep drifting back to what's familiar to you or comfortable for you. This is why people fail to live victoriously. If we lose our vision of the person we want to become, we will fail to complete our change. Write out a description of the kind of person you want to be. Like writing out our goals, writing it down forces us to think in concrete, specific terms rather than in general, vague terms. We forget 90 to 95% of what we hear within 72 hours, but only 10% of what we write down and put into practice within 72 hours. There really isn't a great deal of competition out there today, for the majority of people are like a river, just drifting through life, taking the line of least resistance. They live life reacting to their circumstances. These people will spend more time picking out a birthday card or a pair of tennis shoes than investing in their own development. Lacking discipline, they will only change when the pain of remaining the same exceeds the pain of change. And to be sure, there is pain and change because we are being forced by ourselves to take on a new shape. Your written description of the person you want to be now becomes your focus. Our outlook on life should never be determined by circumstances, but by focus. The picture you have of yourself, positive or negative, becomes your compass setting, guiding you inexorably toward its fulfillment, success, or failure. Most everyone knows of someone who tragically committed suicide. These people were locked in on their circumstances. Someone made the observation that suicide is the sincerest form of self-criticism. Now here's your second big idea. During your 30-day experiment, become aware of how you talk to yourself. We spend 80 to 85% of our time thinking Another way of saying we talk to ourselves. We do this in the morning while getting ready for school or work, when we're driving or waiting in a line. Most people tend to think in critical, judgmental terms rather than in creative, positive terms. Remember, the creative mind produces an idea, while the average mind produces a verdict. Focus on something other than news, sports, and weather. Most people today think about having fun or playing games on their phone or iPad. You must break away from the masses. Be willing to stand alone. This is the true measure of a person. The masses are almost always heading in the wrong direction. This is because most people are in the ranks, trudging along, getting by, as Huxley said, with the least amount of discredit. In your 30-day experiment, try to keep your thoughts from running riot. The question is, what are you going to give up in order to move on? Thomas Jefferson, our third president, said, "If you want something you do not have, you have to do something you've never done." For many, that's shutting off the negative self-talk. St. Teresa of Avila said, "The mind is an unbroken horse. You must take command of your thought life." Talk like, "I wish, if only, I can't, and I'll never," is the self-talk of the failing. This kind of negative self-talk only serves to program your mind for self-fulfilling prophecy. Negative self-talk equals low expectations. Low expectations equals low results. In choosing to conduct your 30-day experiment, don't be surprised by adversity or resistance. This will almost always come from those closest to you. They have probably seen you try before, maybe several times. Their first reaction will be one of trying to save you from yourself or from disappointment. They'll say things like, "You don't have the education or the money," or, "Remember when you tried something like this before?" Or, "We didn't raise you to think like this." If this fails to dampen your dreams, they will resort to something very few people are strong enough to withstand: criticism or rejection, cancel culture. We should never let the threats or the memory of past setbacks or failures corrupt our new beginnings. Listen to a few select counselors, then don't let anyone rain on your parade. Remember, we are either moving toward or away from our objective. Here's your third big idea. Don't be intimidated by detractors. Robert O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden, said, "The loudest boos come from the cheapest seats." You will never see a monument erected in honor of a critic. During your 30-day experiment, persevere with a quiet assurance, knowing that you must reap what you sow. It may take time, but as sure as the sun comes up in the east and settles in the west, it will come to pass. In fact, there is no way that it cannot, for it is an immutable law of God's universe. "Everything in nature," Emerson said, "even dust and feathers, go by laws and not by luck. And what you sow, so shall you reap." These laws apply to all people equally, everywhere, and have since the dawn of human history. We need only to work in harmony with these laws and persevere. Give of yourself during your 30-day experiment like you've never done before. Do more than is expected of you. Doing a task before being asked is called assumptive service. Life is like a game of tennis. The person who serves well seldom loses. You can drive down any street in your town or city and tell which companies are doing the best service and giving the best service. Now, don't be concerned about where your return will come from. We often reap a wonderful harvest from a field different than the one in which we've sown. This is another one of God's immutable laws, the law of mutual exchange. Like the law of sowing and reaping, we cannot help others to prosper without prospering ourselves. You might have heard this law expressed contemporarily as, we get back what we give out, or what goes around comes around. In the Bible, it says, if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you. There are people outside the house, the church, who are using these laws to their great advantage. Sadly, there are those within the house who, failing to use these laws, find themselves eating the peels of life and throwing away the bananas. The world of the generous, the giver, grows ever larger, while the world of the uncharitable, the stingy, the grabber, becomes smaller and smaller. Carl Menninger, founder of the Menninger Clinic in Houston, Texas, said that he could not remember having ever treated a generous person. Think about that. Successful people reject being all elbows in their climb to the top. They appreciate that 10% of a cow is better than 90% of a chicken. They don't insist on having it all. There is truth in what Goethe, German novelist, poet, and statesman said, they who do nothing for others do nothing for themselves. Our own soul is nourished, he said, when we are kind. It is mortally wounded when we are unkind. This is a heart issue. The Talmud, a collection of rabbinic notes on the second century Jewish oral tradition, known as the Mishnah, says kindness is the highest wisdom. Kindness is a language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. In your 30-day experiment, try loving people and using money and things rather than loving money and things and using people for 30 days. In the Bible it says, the greatest among you must be the servant of all. But servanthood is tough cheese in a self-serving society whose gospel is me, me, me. It's all about the big I. Now don't worry during your 30-day experiment. Worry-driven people are controlled by circumstances and the fear of failure. Failure looks back. Worry looks around. Faith and trust look ahead. You cannot stress and trust God at the same time. It's a little like worrying and praying. It's impossible. Refuse to let the clouds of yesterday or the apprehensions about tomorrow dim your prospects for today. Live in the now. Here's your fourth big idea. Avoid the streets that lead to nowhere. The street called fear. We are born with only two fears. The fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Every other fear is learned. Fear is the adversary that keeps us from achieving the good we oft might win. Fear keeps our results at a distance. The second street is the street of confusion. A confused mind will lead to failure. It will rob your faith, vitality, and steal your trust in God. With confusion, we continually circle the mountain of opportunity rather than climbing it to our destiny. Invest time in finding someone who will mentor you. Don't reinvent the wheel. If a cat sits on a hot stove, that cat will never sit on a hot stove again. but it will never sit on a cold stove either. It just gets out of the business of sitting on stoves. Even a cat knows that. Don't learn lessons the hard way. Another street you want to avoid is the street called perfection. Focus on effectiveness rather than perfection. The cure for perfectionism is something called calculated neglect. Stop straightening other people's pictures or picking lint off of strangers. It drives people crazy. Overcoming this is a developed discipline. There's the street of stressing and striving to avoid. Form the habit of silence and solitude. Spend time listening to God. Let Him do His work. We tend to constantly be busy and rarely reflect. We become focused on the trivial many rather than the vital few. Doing so, we miss a life of meaning. Avoid the fifth street, the street of missed opportunities. In the Bible, in Zechariah 4:6, it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty." When strength is weakness, and weakness is strength. Philippians 4:13 says, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let God be a lamp to your feet and a guide to your steps. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Stop climbing mountains of your own making. Finally, here's your fifth big idea. Once you complete your 30-day experiment, it is vitally important that you surround yourself with like-minded people. You must find a group of people that care enough about you to be honest with you. For only in honesty is there transparency, and only in transparency is there truth, and only in truth is there life, and only in life is there freedom. Three kinds of people will shun transparency. Beware of them: the arrogant, the insecure, and the devious, the deceitful or schemer. In the Bible, Proverbs 27:6 says, "You have no friend or ally in someone who will not share a truth, and better wounds from a friend than kisses from an enemy. Mercy without judgment is truth that sets free." Only a fool wants to continually hear the echo of their own voice. Your group of right-thinking people now becomes your mind trust. Remember, where you go determines who you meet. Who you meet determines how you think. And how you think determines your destiny. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, 2 or 3 are better than 1. For if one falls, their friends can help them up. Pity the one who falls and has no one to help them up. We need others to help us keep from losing our rails. Helen Keller was once asked if she would rather have sight than anything else. She said something profound. "I would rather walk in the dark with a friend than be alone in the light." We are all subject to losing our rails from time to time. We all need someone to point out our scotomas, our blind spots, to drop the plumb line on us, to give us a good swift kick in the direction of our potential if needed. This is called exhortation. Knowledge is knowing what to do. Wisdom is knowing how to do it. But virtue is doing it. The dreamer dreams but fails to do. The doer dreams but follows through. Well, are you ready to follow through? To mount up with wings like eagles? To live a life of passion, purpose, and power? Are you ready to seize the day? Don't start your 30-day experiment until you're determined to persevere and finish it. Then make your 30-day experiment. Repeat it. then repeat it again until it becomes a part of your core values. Once it does, you'll wonder how you ever lived any other way. If you fail during your 30-day experiment, that is, if you become discouraged or overwhelmed or want to go back to your old way of doing things, back to Egypt, you must start over and go another 30 days. God expects us to push through and learn from our mistakes. If you want to enjoy true riches, riches that can never be taken from you, the contentment that comes not in what we know, but in who we know, not in who we are, but in whose we are, with God, there is no plan B. He has a plan, an A plan, for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Regardless of one's IQ, number of degrees, or pedigrees, God gives us all 86,400 seconds each day. The question is, will you spend the rest of your life like you've spent it up till now? Or will you choose to live life like somebody left the gate open? To live free, truly free. Your past can be redeemed. Your present can make sense. And your future can be secure. Thank you for listening.